We are taking a break from our regular studies to look at a couple passages in the book of Psalms today. This morning, as we talked about our commitment that we need to seek God. This evening, I want us to turn to Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. It has the most verses, and a majority of those verses talk about God's Word. Your and my life needs to be centered on the Word of God. As we talked about kids a little bit earlier tonight, when we talk about the baseball field, the center of the baseball field is the pitcher. And the pitcher really controls that game. He does a lot of different stuff with that and how he throws the ball. If he's going to make that person walk instead of letting them hit the ball. If he's going to try to strike them out. So many different aspects that the pitcher does. And he's the center of the field. God's Word needs to be the center of our lives. And that's something that only God can do. We can spend time reading God's Word, but reading God's Word is different than seeking God with our whole heart. This evening in Psalm 119, we'll look at verses 9 through 11. Some of these verses might be familiar to many of you, but the reality and the importance of the greatest need in our life, of seeking God with all our hearts. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love. We thank you so much for your mercy in our lives that we don't deserve. Help us tonight, as we look at your Word, to once again be reminded and challenged to seek you with our whole heart. Make your Word the center of our life. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the greatest need you have in life? We have so many different needs. We have a need for occupation. You need to work so you can have money so you can eat. We have a need for food. We have a need for water. Nancy has taught us we have a need for salt in our blood and going through some of those things. We have different needs in our life. But the greatest need that each of us have and that we all have in common is that we need God's Word. It needs to be the center of our life, the focal point of our life. We've talked about in the auditorium Sunday school class that we look at God, we look at life through the prism of God's Word. Through the lens of God's Word, focusing in and seeing life through a different perspective because God's Word makes a difference. But if we don't have the proper view of God's Word, it does affect our life. It makes a difference with the way that I live on Monday. Oh, we don't have to have a proper perspective on God's Word to live right on Sunday or to go to church and make it look like we want to do what's right. But Monday is when it really happens. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. How will I live my life this week? Will I be committed to seek God every day? Or will I do my own thing? And let the distractions of life take my focus from me. All sorts of things that can be good things can be distractions to us. We're reminded in Hebrews to lay aside the weights that do so easily beset us and run with patience or endurance, that race that is set before us. And what is the race set before us? Life. It's a marathon. It's a long distance run. For some, it's 80, 90 plus years. This afternoon at nap time, Josiah was asking me again about naps. Kids don't like naps, do they? You remember that with your kids and you remember that being a kid. Josiah was saying, when I'm 150, do I have to take a nap? And I said, yes. And he said, why? I said, because you'll be tired when you're 150. I mean, life is a marathon. But when we go through life in all the ages and stages, whether it's lower education with elementary, middle school, high school, whether it's upper education with college or beyond, whether it's when we get married or as we are choosing our occupation and what is our focus of work going to be, at least for this time in life. As we continue on in age and stage of life and as we continue older and continue faithfully living for God, what will our focus be? It must constantly be the Word of God. In fact, read along with me out loud as we read Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And as we think about that, the reality that I need to seek God with my whole heart, that my life needs to be centered around the Word of God. Does the Bible say, when I get up in the mornings, I should spend time, some people call it devotion, some people call it their quiet time with God. Does the Bible tell me every morning, that's when I need to spend time with God? Does it say that, yes or no? No, it doesn't. But it does show me and teach me that my life needs to be centered on the Word of God, which includes the morning. Well, I'm not a morning person. How many of you are not morning people? Okay. So, all of you younger kids, right, are not morning people. Okay, and it's like, man, I can't get out of bed. Or if I do, I've got to have my third cup of coffee before I can even open my eyes. Or all these other kind of exciting things that we need. How many of you are morning people? Man, you would just get up and you would get going. That's a good group, good size in this group. A lot of people, a lot of times it's reversed in that aspect. Now, I enjoy getting up in the morning sometimes. I would classify myself as a morning person. Now, I sometimes it's tough for me to get up early in the morning. But when I get up early in the morning, I get so much accomplishment. It's like, it's only this time already? And it's incredible to see that. Whether you're a morning person or not, we need to spend time in God's Word in the morning. At least center our morning around God's Word. You say, well, I don't have time. I struggle getting up and I've got to go to school or I've got to go to work or I've got to do all. Well, wait a second. So what do we do? At least think about God's Word. At least we've got a memory verse as a church that we're working on. If none else, have that next to your bed and read that quick before you go off and think about it. Or maybe there's another memory verse you're working on. I was challenged. I was reading a book that evangelist John Getch wrote. And he was talking about preaching. But one of the chapters, one of the appendix chapters that he had in there, it wasn't a gallbladder, but one of the appendix chapters that he had in there was dealing with how to memorize Scripture. And he said, so many people ask him, how do you memorize so much Scripture? He said, it takes time. It takes work. And he said, it's for him, it's such a battle. He said, so many people say, well, I can't do it. I don't have time. He said, it's amazing what 10 minutes, getting up 10 minutes before everybody else gets up does. Or whatever it may be. So maybe you've got some time in the morning. Or maybe it's at lunchtime. Refocusing on the Word of God. And it's a time just to maybe rush over a Scripture passage. Go over it again. Maybe during your devotion or your lunchtime, you've got just a couple minutes that you can open up the Word of God and just read a little bit right there. Refresh and refocus on God's Word. Centering my day on God's Word. Maybe it's around dinner time. Or maybe before bed. Throughout the day, find a time. One, that you can specifically spend time in God's Word seeking God, but we need to center our day around God's Word. In fact, again, that's why we have the church service schedule that we have as a church family. We don't gather together every day. Now, they did in the early New Testament church in the book of Acts. They gathered together from house to house every day, breaking bread and going through some of those aspects. But as we have our service schedule, the Lord's Day is Sunday, priority, the first day of the week. But we get together at our, what do we call it? Our Wednesday night prayer meeting sometimes. But sometimes people refer to it as our midweek service. It's a time as a church family just to help us refocus and draw back together. Our lives need to be centered on the Word of God. So kids, during summer break, or as you're getting ready to go back to school, what can you do to center your life on the Word of God? Adults, as we get ready to go into our Monday and another work week, what do you do to center your life on the Word of God? Some of you who said, work is history. What do you do to center your retirement years on the Word of God? You and I must center our lives on the Word of God. And so we see that from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Number one, I need God's Word to cleanse me. Why do I need God's Word? Why must I center it on the Word of God? Because I need God's Word to, what? Cleanse me. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's about God's word. I need God's word to cleanse me, to clean me. Kids, we talked about it earlier when you're up front. When you take a bath, you only have to do it once a month, right? How many of you, man, that would be it. If I only had to take once a month. Any of you adults remember back as a kid? You don't have to say it's as an adult, but man, if it was only once a month, that would have been sweet, right? And I remember my first year at junior camp all those years ago, and I didn't take a shower all week. I didn't think a thing about it. I mean, just why take a shower? You're just with a bunch of other sweaty boys. I mean, who cares? And was brought to another person's home. My parents were going to meet me on the other side of the state. And they were good friends. And the mom and that family said, you will take a shower before your mom comes and sees you. And it's like, who cares? Well, we need God's word to cleanse us. Not from the stink and the stench and the grime of life, but from the stink and the stench and the grime of sin. You and I struggle with sin. Do you struggle with sin? Kids, do you struggle with sin? Now, look around. Adults, do you struggle with sin? See that, kids? It's a battle. This is not just for you guys. We struggle with sin, and we need God's word to cleanse us. Wherewithal shall a young man or young lady, a young person or an older person, it doesn't matter our age, it doesn't matter the stage of life, I need to center on God's word so it can cleanse me from my sin. This results from taking heed to God's word at a moment in time. Every moment, again, centering my life around that. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's not once in a while. In fact, Joshua 1:8, one of our memory verses, how often do we need to meditate on the Word of God? Day and... It's a constant thing. I need God's Word to cleanse me. You ever had that bad attitude at work? And they just got under your skin. Right? What do? We need to go back to God's Word and cleanse. But I don't have time to go back to my locker to read the Bible. Verse 11 talks about that, doesn't it? What do we have to do? We go back to the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. This results from taking heed to God's word at a moment in time. Now, the first step of cleansing is salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you need to be cleansed from your sins. The scripture sign, Christ died for our sins. He didn't just die because it was a fun thing to do. He died because we're wicked and we needed cleansing. His blood was the only way. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. I need God's word to cleanse me for salvation. I believe it was last Sunday evening. We sang a song, something about the blood, and then a number of you shared when you got saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you need to get saved today. And if you do, I need God's word to cleanse me. 1 John 1:9, the epistle 1 John is written to believers, those who are already saved. And then he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Paul reminds us in another passage about our garments being washed white as snow, if you will, a church without spot or wrinkle. There's a song, washed the church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because it's His blood that cleanses us. We need God's Word to cleanse us. How can I be clean? How can I live godly in this sin-sick world? Kids, your friends don't want you to live for God. Now, some of them do. Hopefully your friends at church do. But not everybody at school wants you to live for God. Adults, that's the same at work, isn't it? That's the same as we go out and we're about doing the life called us to live in the world. Not everybody wants us to live for God. There's going to be temptations that come to us tonight yet, tomorrow. What do I do when I'm tempted with sin? I center my life on the Word of God. I run back to the Word of God and seek my refuge. Seeking God, we talked about that commitment this morning. This results from taking heed to God's Word at a moment in time. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment in time, Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Running to Him every moment of time. Constantly. But not just results from taking heed to God's word a moment at a time, this results from taking heed to God's word on a moment by moment basis. Not just once. Not just whether it be in the morning or in the evening like we mentioned, but finding a time throughout the day, moment by moment basis, to seek God's Word. How many of you remember our U program here at church? at least hearing about it. Maybe you weren't involved in it at all, but you heard about it, right? If you were here, you remember hearing about that. One of the things that the RU program encouraged people when they had their time with God, their quiet time, their devotions, whatever you may choose to call it, they had a little card in the back of the journal. Anybody remember seeing the Reformers Unanimous journal? The daily journal, its personal journal. And in that journal, in the very back, they had a spot for daily meds. Daily meditations, based on Joshua 1:8. And in that, you would write down your scripture verse for the day, maybe one that you're working on memorizing or whatnot. And on the back side, it'd be something that God taught you from your time in His Word. Now, I remember there were a couple different ways that I was doing it at the time. I would put that one of it, for a while, I'd put it in my pocket. So every time I put my hand in my pocket, I'm remembering, oh, yeah, that piece of paper reminds me of what I learned in the morning with my time with God. Or this is the memory verse I'm working on. There was another way I did it, and that was on my phone. I had it changed my lock screen every day, and it had the thought that God had challenged me with. And so every time I power my phone on, I mean, there it was. I saw it. Just a way to recenter my day on the Word of God. What are you going to do? What am I going to do tomorrow to make sure throughout the day I center my life on the Word of God? That's what will change our life. By taking heed to God's Word on a moment-by-moment basis. Wherewith also a young man cleans his way. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Taking heed, listening and obeying. When someone says, stop, the bridge is out. If you take heed, what do? Stop. God's word is important to me. That's why we open up God's word at church. That's why our Sunday school teachers center their lessons on the what? Word of God. That's why when I preach, it's not just we read God's word and then say a bunch of stuff. I couldn't come up with that kind of stuff to say. It's about God's word. That's what we need. We must go back to God's word and center our life on His word. Moment by moment basis, every day. The word of God has been referred to as a map. It's a map that leads us in the way of living a godly life. This map of how to be cleansed. How to live in a cleansed way, in a clean way. Charles Spurgeon once said, a man will go astray if his map misleads him. But with the most accurate map, he will still lose his road if he does not take heed to it. You ever been driving and you knew the way? I think, Pastor Bob, you were telling me about a story as you guys were headed to your mother-in-law's one summer and you went and you missed the turn because it was nighttime. Man, and
I did, somebody else did.
Yeah. his GPS, there we go. And as we can know the roads, know the way, but if we simply don't take heed to the map, or we missed it. God's word, I need to center my life on God's word. Every day. And it won't lead me astray. It will always lead me in a clear, plain path as I go through life. And that commitment to constantly seek God and to seek His word. I need God's word to cleanse me. I must center my life on the word of God. But I don't simply need God's word to cleanse me. I also need God's word to guide me to obedience. To guide me to obedience. I believe it was Wednesday evening we sang, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Wow. Action. It takes action to obey. Go clean up your room and you're sitting there, kid, right? You didn't obey. It takes action. But it takes the right kind of action. Go clean up your room so you shove it all in the closet. They come in to look at your room and, man, this so looks good. And they go to look at no, don't open that door. It took action, but you didn't put it in the right way. And that's the same in our lives. God wants us to obey. His word will guide me to obedience. Remember, verse 9 said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By what? Taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. There's an old hymn that says, Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. We're tempted with sin, aren't we? You already know what you're going to be tempted with. At least one sin you're going to be tempted with this week, right? I do. I know what I'm going to be tempted with. Sadly, I'm going to be tempted with so many other things beside that. But what am I going to do to have victory? How am I going to be guided to obedience? It must be by centering my life on the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you're a kid. You can still open up God's Word and read it. And learn from God's Word. It doesn't matter if you've been saved all of your life or 70-some years like Nancy has. As Nancy will tell you, she still needs God's Word, don't you, Nancy? That's what our heart should be. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I need God's Word to guide me to obedience. Often we tend to wander on our path about obedience. Oh, should I do this? Should I not? What is God really? God doesn't really care. Wait a second. God's got a plan. Am I going to obey Him by seeking Him? Or am I going to do what I want to do? This results from seeking God with my whole heart. That's how I'll be guided to obedience, by seeking God with my whole heart. This morning we talked about that commitment that you and I need to make. And I trust you made a commitment this morning about this week. God, help me to seek you with my whole heart. Help me to seek you. But as we make that commitment, it's not just kind of a casual, if I have time, I'll do it. What would your boss think if you did that for work? If I have time, I'll go in tomorrow. If I have time, I might show up. I might be an hour or two late because I just didn't have enough time in the morning to do everything I needed to do. Or kids, as you're getting ready for school, if I have time next week, I'll turn that paper in. If I don't, you might get it a couple weeks, or I just may never have time for it. You would have a bad grade, wouldn't you? There's problems with that. We do these things with our whole heart because, one, we don't want to be in trouble, or we don't want to get fired, or we don't want the bad grade, or we try to put diligence into it. But the priority of life is that I must seek God with my whole heart. All of me. Not a part, another song. All of me. Not a part, but all of me. Take it, Lord. I want to be yours. And I need to seek God with my whole heart. When? On Sundays? Yes. But Sunday is only 1/7 of the week. Sunday is quite a small part of the week. If I am going to have a life centered on God's Word, Sunday is really a small part of that. Yes, the commitment of going to church and getting away and setting aside a time to worship God, but it's such a small part of focusing my life on the Word of God. It requires action on my part on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. And you think about it. In some ways, I think, at least for some of us, it's easier to go to church than to do our devotions. And think about this for a second. You say, well, man, I can do my devotions real quick and get done and do it. But think about the positive peer pressure, right? What will people think if I just don't show up? There'll be people who, hey, what's going on? Are you okay today? Are you sick? So some of us, there's that positive peer pressure. But sometimes with our devotions, it's like no one's going to ask, and I've got so much to do this morning. I've got so much to do today. And so we just skip over it. We don't make the priority of centering our life on the Word of God, myself included. We need God's Word every day. I need it to help guide me unto obedience. Yes, to knowing those big decisions. Who does God want me to marry? What occupation does God have for me in life? Where does God want me to live? And yes, there are certain big decisions like that that change throughout life. But through the everyday decisions of living for God, I need God's Word to guide me to obedience, seeking Him with my whole heart. Philippians chapter 3, we see the Apostle Paul and his desire with this. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 10, Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I've been saved for a purpose, and what do I need to do? Fulfill that purpose. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, or I've already been, obtained that purpose. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This results from seeking God with his whole heart. Did Paul seek God with his whole heart? Or did he let his past victories keep hold of him and he kept going? You ever heard someone who, maybe they've been saved for years and all they tell you about is what happened in the past in their life spiritually? Oh man, when I was younger, this is what we did for God. And man, wait a second, what's God doing now? What are you doing now? I think we need to remember those things that God has done and how he's used us. But we can't simply live on the past. We've got to live for today. Paul says, forgetting those things which are past, even those good things. Yes, the sins that have set us aside and we struggled with, and praise the Lord, we've gotten victory. But also those positive things, those victories God has given us. Not to forget them, but to not cling to them. To focus on God's word for today, because I need to obey today just as much as I needed to 20 years ago. And you can look back in your life and you can say, man, as a young person, this is what I did to serve God. And that was great. Well, that's exciting. And that's a testimony you can share with our young people. But what are you doing today to serve God? Man, someone came up to me and what a blessing. A lot of my areas of service have changed, but one of the biggest things I can do to serve God today is pray. You know, I've heard that from so many people who have getting up in age. What an opportunity, because prayer takes what? Time. And some of you have a lot of time. Now, we all have a lot of time. Some of us just have different ways we have to fill that. Pray. Seek God with your whole heart. Would you pray specifically for our church that God would do an incredible work? Not about us. It's not so we can outgrow the auditorium and how many people can we get at Jeruel. It's how many people's lives will God change because he wants to use us. How many people will be able in our area to glorify God because Christ died for their sins too? Let's pray that God would do an incredible work. Seeking him with our whole heart will lead us to obeying him. But this guidance towards obedience also is a result from praying for his help. Again, he says back in Psalm 119 in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And then that very next phrase is, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He's praying to God. God, I need your help because I know I'm prone to wander. God, I need you to make a difference in my life. Turn back to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Again, as we think about this idea of seeking God. Verse 11, we looked at this morning. But what is the psalmist doing and what is his action in verse 11? He's praying. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I need to seek God with my whole heart, yes, through his word, but through prayer. And he will guide me to obedience. Teenagers, you might wonder, how will I know what to do in life? Or where God wants me to go to college, or what he wants me to do in life? How will I know who God wants me to marry in life? Seek him with your whole heart right now. Through his word and through prayer, he'll lead you step by step. He's a light unto my path, his word is. He's my light and my salvation, we talked about this morning. Seeking God with my whole heart will guide me to obedience. Seeking God with my whole heart will lead to cleansing in my life. But as well, seeking God with my whole heart will keep me from sinning. Not just guide me to doing right and to obey, but to keep me from sin. We've all already admitted, we know one of the areas we're going to be tempted with this week. So the only way I can have victory is through God's word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, in Sunday school, we do the pledges. We do the pledge to the American flag. God has allowed us to be citizens of which country? And as we pledge allegiance to that, we're thankful for the blessings God has given us. Because even Jesus Christ, to the Jews there, when they said, do we have to pay taxes to Caesar? He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's. There's a point of being a citizen. And I praise God for being American. We pledge allegiance to the American flag, but we also pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. But what is the third thing that we pledge allegiance to? The Bible. And we do it last, not because it's least, but I think it's priority. And when you go to a concert, whether it be a band concert at school or an orchestra or something like that, they say that you often remember the first and the last songs the most. When you go to a fireworks show, why don't they have the grand finale first? Everything else would be meaningless. Well, that's boring. But they want you to remember it. The last thing we pledge allegiance to is the Bible. God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. I need God's word to keep me from sinning. Kids, do you struggle obeying your parents? I remember those days. Man, I remember some things in my teenage years my dad challenged me with and talked to me about. And it's like, Dad, you just don't get it. Now, I didn't say that to him. I had respect for my dad in that way. But I remember thinking that, okay, Dad, yeah, enough. And I'd sit there, you know, listen to that lecture, right? Teens, do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah? No? Okay. Parents, do your teens understand? Okay, yeah. I mean, we get this, right? I mean, we understand that and we get that. I remember struggling with those things. And, you know, it took a few years and then I'm like, Dad really understood what he was talking about. And I'm thankful I listened, even though I didn't want to. Man, I remember one specific area in my life I battled with. And I didn't want to yield it up to God. But my dad came to me and said, you don't have a choice. Well, okay, I guess I don't have a choice. But, I could have been rebellious and sneaky behind his back, right? Kids, we all know how to do that, right? Adults, we knew how to do that. And, yeah. But I'm so glad I chose to obey. I look back now and I'm like, that would have changed my life. I mean, sometimes I wonder, would I even be a pastor today if I hadn't obeyed my dad as a teenager? That's how big. We say, well, that's just a goofy little... Wait a second, it's not. God gives us our parents for a reason. To help guide us to obedience. Parents, that's why we parent our kids with the Word of God. Right? As you challenge them and instruct them and you set up boundaries for your family, man, it's the Word of God. It's one of the things we try to constantly talk about with our kids when they disobey and we have to discipline them. We go back to, why am I doing this? Because you didn't obey. It's not about me. It's about God. I need God's Word, yes, to cleanse me. I need God's Word to guide me to obedience, but I need God's Word to keep me from sinning. I just can't do it in my own strength. I am weak. And he is strong. Once again, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I need God's word to keep me from sinning. And this results from what? Hiding God's word in my heart. Hiding God's word in my heart. Now, we're not talking about hide and seek. Hide and seek can be fun. Man, I remember when I was a youth pastor back in Muskegon and we had a guy's overnighter at the church one time and we played hide and seek in the dark. And it was a blast. I had fun anyway. Some of those teens freaked themselves out of all the noises and everything else they could hear. But it's fun. And you remember hide and seek. And your goal in hide and seek is to hide so that no one can find you. So they have to holler out, Ollie, Ollie, Oxen Free, or whatever they hollered in your time. Come on out so we can play again, and you go back to your hiding spot. There were spots, I remember as a youth pastor, walking around our church saying, where can I hide? And some, you know, it's just like you spend the day, not the whole day, but I'd spend some time, okay, this would be a good hiding spot, and that would be a good hiding spot. And I specifically looked at some spots, some that no one could fit in, and that was a bummer because it would have been a sweet hiding spot. But we almost got a teen guy into one of them, and then he wouldn't have gotten out, so I'm glad he didn't go in. But when we hide God's word in our heart, it's not hiding it so much we can't find it. It's keeping it there so that when I'm tempted at work or at school or wherever I am, boom, it pops right there. I don't lose it. I'm keeping it safe. I'm keeping it effective and active in my life. The psalmist here, as he's talking about the righteous people living our life cleansed in a clean way, seeking God with our whole heart. How do I not sin? By hiding His word in my heart, memorizing. Why is it that we memorize Scripture as a church family? It is important. We need God's word. When you're tempted with sin, hopefully it comes to your mind. Now, there are specific passages that we can memorize. The book that I just finished reading by John Getch, he had 82, in one of his appendix sections, he had 82 common sins. Again, he's not justifying it, but he has 82 common sins listed in Scripture passages that show it's sin. And right across from it, he has those same 82 ways that I can live victoriously. And he said, man, this is one great section if you're wanting to memorize God's Word. Go for the section that you know you struggle with the most and start memorizing those Scriptures. So when you're tempted, that passage of Scripture pops in your head, you quote it, you yield to God, and it keeps you from sinning. Hiding God's word in your heart. I need it to keep me from sinning. It's incredible, though. He says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I don't have to sin. It is a choice that I make. I was listening, again, I was listening to some witnessing opportunities people had taken. Late last night, I was listening to these on YouTube, and as they witnessed to people, some people said, well, I was born that way. Well, wait, we all, in one sense, we all were born with that desire in our heart to sin and do what we want, whatever that sin may be. But the reality is God's word gives us victory. It will guide me to obedience. It will keep me from that sin. But you don't know the temptation. I may not know your temptation, but I know my temptations. I know how strong temptation is to sin. Just ask. We all know it equally, don't we? But God wants us to live victoriously. The only hope that I have for that is by His word. But I just can't seem to get victory. Well, are you centering your life on the word of God? Well, I try, but... Well, wait a second. Then let's do more. Man, I remember one aspect. I was struggling in college and just with my doubts and my emotions and letting them control me. And is this right? Is this wrong? What's going to happen? I mean... And I finally, the only way I could finally get victory was through what? God's word. I battled with this for months. And I remember the homework that I had to do that night. I was down in the basement of our new education building. I was in technology, so I was able to be in kind of one of the more secluded areas that only certain workers could be in and whatnot. And so I was studying down there away from the noise. But in all the quietness, you know what was plaguing me? My temptation. My thoughts. And I couldn't focus on the Word of God. I couldn't focus on my responsibilities of getting this homework done. The sin is just tempting me. These thoughts. Fears. The only way that I got victory was I got up. I said, God, I need your help. And I took my scripture verse cards that I was going through at the time. And I walked around campus for probably 45 minutes. You say, well, that's ridiculous. It took you 45 minutes to change your thinking. That's how much of a stronghold it had in my life. But you know what? It was easier the next time. Man, that temptation came again, though. And what did I have to do? Immediately pull out those scriptures. Because God's word changes lives. And I needed to change my life this week. Do you? I want God's word to change me. I need to seek God with my whole heart. I need to center my life on the word of God. That baseball, always go back to the pitcher. So that the next guy can bat. And life will continue on, but I must center on the Word of God. temptations will come this week. What will you do? Will you draw back to the Word of God? Or will you do your own thing? Centering my life on the Word of God brings those blessings of cleansing me, of guiding me to obedience, of keeping me from sin. I want that this week. Do you? Maybe you say, well, man, this, really, I strive to live that way. Well, let's make that commitment again today so we continue to strive to do that this week. Maybe you just struggle with that. Would you center your life on the Word of God? God's Word changes lives. Father, we thank you.